Welcome to the first episode of Greencast, the podcast of Green Hut Games. My name is Patrick Klug. I'm one of the founders, and I'm here with my brother Daniel. Daniel, say hello.
Hey, I'm Daniel.
So, yeah, we are actually the brothers who founded Green Hut Games and developed Game Dev Tycoon together all those years ago. Now we're, you know, the team is a little bit bigger, but for the first episode, I think it was fitting to kind of go back to where it all started. And that's pretty much with us. Now, Daniel, I have an actual surprise for you because this is the first time we actually try to record a podcast, and I thought, I have a little surprise. So, you know, every podcast has an intro. And so I researched and I went through hundreds of recordings and I picked one that is really good, I think. But you haven't heard it yet. So please give me your honest opinion afterwards. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. So just imagine that, right? Quietness. It's hard to imagine, I know, because I'm talking all the time. But anyway, welcome to Greencast Episode 1. Hello.
Well, that was a bit intense.
Yes. What do you think?
Should we keep that? No, I think we should change that to be more. How would you say that? Not that techno.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I think
you're heavy. Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'll own up to it. It was more of a joke. I looked for a dubstep podcast intro on Audio Jungle and bought the first one with zero purchases because I thought, if I use it as a joke, I might as well support someone who doesn't have support yet. So there you go. Okay. Well, that's to start off. I think pretty good showcase of hopefully not how it will always go. But to us, Greencast is a little bit of an experiment, isn't it?
So you didn't come up with a real example as well? Like,
but you're disappointed now that I don't have a better one. I do have an outro as well that I will play at the end.
Yeah.
That will be the next surprise.
Yeah, I hope it's better.
Yeah, we can always hope. Yeah, so to us, you know, the podcast, I think, is a bit of an experiment. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like, especially with Tavern Keeper, we got a little bit into the habit of trying to be perfect. And it's also maybe the reason why we're a little bit long in development time. But yeah.
Yeah, true. I guess there are multiple reasons for that, of course, but one of that is for sure trying to get everything perfect. That's true.
Yeah, so for the podcast, we thought, first take it or leave it. Of course, we want to, you know, entertain and be of good recording quality. So if you guys have any you folks have any, you know, feedback, let us know. But other than that, I mean, we probably will change the intro. I'm pretty sure that will happen. But anyway, so welcome to Greencast Episode 1. We are, you know, the founders of Green Hut Games. And I thought to start with, we probably just should do a little quick history of how Green Hut Games came to be and, yeah, what the story was. Do you actually remember? I don't quite know anymore.
Way too long ago already. No. So basically, we're both kind of just developer, right? So programmers who worked for different companies and stuff like that. And at some point, we just talk to each other.
and brothers usually don't do.
Well, you were in Australia already, and I'm in I was in Austria, so we didn't talk that much, which sure changed since Green Hut Games came to life. But then we just saw, okay, both of us want to do something for ourselves, like having our own product, working for ourselves and trying to do something with our programming language, which suits us. And I don't know, somehow we came up with, we both like to game, and that would be a good thing to start, just trying to write a game together.
Yeah, I do actually remember one of the reasons we picked games. I mean, first of all, we love games, and we thought, well, what better way to actually make a hobby more important in your life than to, you know, become a professional game developer, because then, of course, you have to play games, right? I mean, that's
just, you know. Well, interesting.
And what better way to start than to write a game about game development, something that you don't know anything about it because it's the first game you make. So that was another one.
I think games were the number one reason why I started to learn programming to begin with. Like,
yeah,
it was kind of, I'd like to know how this whole thing works so I can play games while on a break or something like that.
Yeah, I think for me it was really, I want to know how my older brother Daniel did that thing just in DOS and QBasic, so I need to learn that as well. And then, yeah, I just followed in your footsteps, really. But what I meant to say is, you know, one of the reasons we actually picked games over, let's say, something like software, which where I was before in the industry and you as well, is that we felt like it would be really nice to work on something, on a product as such, and put your heart into it and, you know, polish it up and then release it and then be able to move on to something new.
Exactly.
And something that you can put new energy in, because usually, you know, when you make software, you make it and then you improve it forever and build on that. Now, I mean, to be fair, games go in that direction, but that was our idea. It didn't quite work out the way, I think, because we were thinking, oh, we do Game Dev Tycoon for 1 year maybe and then do something else. Now, that was much longer, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So first plan was, I think, six-month project to having Game Dev Tycoon just as a round-based thing on iOS, which definitely wasn't working out. And yeah, you're right. We thought, okay, we will do that, look how it goes, and then just move on with a second project and more or less can restart again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very well known by now, but Game Dev Tycoon was actually first released on the Windows Store when Windows 8 was announced, essentially. And after that, I mean, it was all right, but the Windows Store wasn't very popular. And,
well, it was,
you know,
brand,
and then we were like, okay, we can't survive of that. Before we move on to our next game, we should release it on desktop. And then it kind of exploded because, of course, of the piracy experiment that most people know us from. But that really then changed everything, because suddenly something that you thought, oh, you know, in 2 months we'll talk about something new, was nowhere near that. I mean, we spent, 1.5 years more than that, longer on Game Dev Tycoon after that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was still not finished, right? So
still not finished. Still surprises coming. Still cool things. And I think you kind of owe it to people. I mean, not like you, because it's a $10 game. I don't think we owe anyone major features, but I think what we do owe is kind of the thoughts of, okay, the community still likes it, we still have players. What could we do while we develop this game to keep it moving a bit? And I guess, I mean, the podcast is one good way as well, as to, it allows us to just talk about all these things, because we've been so utterly quiet for the last forever, right? 5 years.
Almost forever. Yeah. True.
Yeah. It's weird because I think, you know, we're here today and we're able to make Tavern Keeper because of the people who support us. And I know that a lot of those same people are kind of curious of what we do, because we only send out a newsletter every 3 years, and that's not very much. I mean, 3 years is a bit of an exaggeration.
True.
But it's sometimes it was 600 days in between. And yeah, so what are we actually doing right now?
The next game, which is called Tavern Keeper, and hopefully it's worth the effort.
Yes,
it's kind of stressful. It's awesome. It's awesome that we are able to work on it with such a great team, which we have. I hope we are able to show a lot of things in this podcast and
yeah. It's kind of bizarre to be talking about Tavern Keeper, like, you know, what is it actually? What's the game idea? Because we have been kind of breathing every variation of that question for the last 5 years. I mean, I think we had 3 or 4 game design documents, and I'm talking multi-pages, detailed mechanics and whatnot, and doesn't even take into account all the prototypes and whatnot. We changed technology at least 3 times.
Exactly.
Which is, I guess, a short summary for everyone who's listening to why does it take so long to make a game like that. But I think the truth is it's just a lot more complicated than, and I don't mean the game experience, but, you know, it's like when you say, I mean, I don't even know, when you say the game idea was...
I think that's the problem. Like when we started, we started it as a JavaScript thing in 2D, and then we moved on to 3D stuff like that. And it was just like, okay, that's our idea. We try to stick to it. We try to do the best as we can to bring our idea to life. And while working on it, the idea as well changes, of course, because you're seeing what you're doing, and it's hard to say, okay, but that doesn't fit the idea, kind of. So that's one reason, again, I think.
Yeah, I think the tragedy of game development is that it isn't like in Game Dev Tycoon. I mean, how cool would that be if you can just start, you know, and say, oh, I make a medium game, and that will, you know, make a few decisions. And then I know in 1.5 years, it's definitely finished, because you don't have any, I mean, you can wait on the finish button and hover over the polish. But that's not really what happens in real life, I guess, is that the it's evolving. It's ever evolving.
The whole thing all the time, right? Like you're changing game, the design of the game while implementing the game itself.
Yeah. And I guess that must sound awful, but the opposite is even worse, I feel like, because when we started, we were always like, okay, we need to get to the first gameplay. We need to get to the first way where we can play the game, and then we build upon that. Because that's how we did Game Dev Tycoon. You know, we had the garage, which we started with, where you make the first game and you pick all the stuff, and then we just added things and tuned them. But Tavern Keeper in so many ways is different, because it's a systems game. Like every time we implemented this base thing and then we tried it out, the game pushed us into a different direction. It wasn't like we couldn't just follow the design document.
Yeah, I think that's a big problem with I'm not sure how they are called, but with games which are living out of mechanics, so to say, like you have a lot of different mechanics which need to work together. So as long as you don't have at least a minimum viable mechanic implementation, you can't test them out, because all of them need to be kind of in place before seeing the result.
Yeah. I think to me, the... narrative design, first and foremost, I think is the perfect example for that, because I remember back then where we had like statements in the game design document, or when we discussed it, right, where we said, well, okay, we want a story that is reactive and dynamic, and, you know, the plan was crazy. I mean, we had all these ideas, and you know, that the story should evolve with you and whatnot. And I think we tried that so many times to make it work. And in the end, we're like, just why are we fighting so hard to do something only because we said initially we want to do that? Like, exactly. That's, I think, what it ultimately is. Like, you can set your plan in game development, but you have to be super flexible to discover, hey, wait a second, that plan sounded great initially, but, it pushes it somewhere else. The fun is somewhere else. The niceties,
or to just see that the this one particular mechanic or this one particular part of the game would work in itself, but not with the rest. Kind of, you just need to discover that and say, okay, the idea itself was great, but we need to throw it away, or we need to alter it fundamentally.
Yeah. Mm. So it's kind of it's. In some ways, because I think a public statement after Game Dev Tycoon, of course, lots of people were like, oh, we want a bigger version. And that's understandable, because Game Dev Tycoon, in a way, is quite a small game. I mean, it's much larger to implement it than you might think. I mean, even Rarebyte, the development partners who made the mobile version, took more than a year to do a port. And there is no, you know, there were no game mechanic experiments. It's just implemented. So in a way, it is much bigger than it seems. But yeah, it was still like the idea was there, and it was easy to follow. With Tavern Keeper, we said, you know, instead of making Game Dev Tycoon 2 and kind of just doing more of the same, we wanted to do something more experimental, to learn more about the craft of game development. And I definitely feel we did that. I don't know if the cost in the end was justifiable, because, it was quite a journey so far. But, you know, I'm quite proud of where we are. I think when it comes out, it will definitely be a unique version of a tavern management game, which is kind of funny, because initially when we had the idea, there were no tavern management games. Now there are, of course, a whole bunch of them, but we're still like, Tavern Keeper to us is a special thing.
That's true. Yeah. But I think that's for every project you're working on. So
yeah, you kind of have to say that, right?
Yeah, if you don't, then what's the point of doing it, right?
yeah, that's right, yeah. So I guess, I mean, most people who would listen to that, first of all, we should say thank you for listening to this, because if you listen to that, you're probably one of the first supporters on our Patreon, which is also an experiment. We don't know how it will go, so definitely let us know, and we're welcome on board. I mean, it's great to be able to talk about this, but I guess one of the first questions we'll get is like, so what's the ETA, when is it finally coming, Tavern Keeper? Now last year we posted an image of this halfling, you know, balancing all sorts of food items, and underneath we said not this year. Yeah, do you remember why we posted that?
Well, just because we on our webpage we had like our original ETA, and we just wanted to communicate that it's not going to be this year, right? Like at the time we are posting it,
and we thought, I think that we were actually quite in time, because we didn't do that on the 31st of December and said not this year, which you might expect, but quite early. I can't remember exactly which month, but I don't think that messaging was all that great, because to me now it implies, of course, oh, it must be this year, right? The following year, which isn't quite true, unfortunately, right?
No, and when writing the message, it wasn't our plan to imply that, so that's a bit of a pity, of course. But at least we are getting towards the public, right? Like, we are doing the podcast, we are doing stuff like that, so it's interesting time ahead, and
Yeah, in a way, it's a weird feeling for us, because, of course, we kind of, I guess I anticipate disappointment and just because I can relate, I think, you know, if there's a cool game that I want to play, it's really difficult to say, well, it's not really coming out fully this year. And at this point, we don't think that is likely that we will have a full release this year. So, you know, it's always kind of, I don't know, ETAs are very difficult, but that is pretty certain. So I guess that's one reason, another reason why we started this podcast and the Patreon, is to, you know, rather than just not saying anything for another year, why not let people see what we're fighting with, or, you
what's
know,
going on,
doing kind of thing.
True.
Yeah.
From the player point of view, when I'm waiting for a title to be released, right? I think there are multiple scenarios where I'm kind of annoyed, which is either there is an announcement and then there is long silence and you just don't know, or something like that. What we did kind of.
I can think of one example.
Yeah, yes. For instance. A second example where I'm personally I'm quite annoyed is often when there is an announcement and then quite soon afterwards an early access, and the early access just stays forever in there, and I'm seldomly touching an early access because I just want to experience the full game when it gets released. And if I touch it earlier, then often that's spoiled. But it's not a complete rule for me. It's just most of the time I'm doing that. Sometimes
I definitely feel that as well. Yeah, I definitely feel like the older I get and the more games I guess I experience and the more I think about games, the less patience I have for starting a new game and not having a polished introduction, for example, which of course a lot of early access titles don't have. So, you know, I'm quite known for, I guess, like I observe myself starting a game and quitting it within 2 minutes simply because the introduction or the tutorial isn't nice or is confusing or something doesn't work correctly. Which of course, you know, is not, I guess there are heaps of people who would be happy to take this kind of thing. But I mean, that's not necessarily the reason why we don't release in early access or something like that. I guess why don't we, right? That's might be an interesting question.
Well, because we are not ready.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately that's that. And also, I mean, we're in a lucky position, thanks to all our supporters who bought Game Left Tycoon, that we can still, try to finish the game with our own resources. And of course, Patreon will help in some ways as well. But I think that will be very minor in comparison to what the budget was, because it's a huge game, actually. But anyway, so, you know, we don't need to do a Kickstarter. And I think the Kickstarter, I mean, this is really where, you know, it's dangerous as well, because if you do a Kickstarter, you're really lulled into that overselling mentality because you have milestones and you want this and that, and then you sell it. And of course, that takes a lot of time. And then it might take still years to come out. And I think it's a very different experience because then you already sold something. And I think that's the only thing that keeps me sleeping semi-well at night, is to know, well, yes, Tavern Keeper has been quite the journey, quite difficult internally in so many ways. And I'm sure we get into that in future podcasts, but we have never sold it to anyone outside. So we can't, no one can say, hey, I gave you my money and you haven't done anything.
Exactly. So there
which
is no,
probably the main.
Yeah. There is no, yeah. We didn't take the risk to sell something which we don't know if we need to throw it away later. Right. That's the whole point.
Kind of.
Like,
yeah, and if we had had done a Kickstarter, there would be so many changes from then, and probably those changes would have been much more difficult to make. Mm. But I think that's why we finally, I feel like, I mean, we have been throwing around the idea for Patreon forever, but finally, I feel like comfortable with that because I really see it as an experiment. It's a month by month thing. You know, if you join it and you like it, you can stay there. We don't sell you anything more than what it is. Which is just get more of a behind the scene access. And hopefully we can build a community around the game as well and, share some of that excitement.
Yeah, that's true. And have, of course, a way to show our stuff. It's not that we don't want to show, right? Like that was never the case. It's just about, I think now is the time where what we show is, first of all, likely to be in the end game then, because we messed around with systems long enough, I think, again, come to a point where you say, okay, we need to throw that away completely because it just doesn't match the system. So the risk for that is way lower than it was a year back, right? So,
yeah. I love how diplomatic you are here because that's kind of, that tells you the experience, right? We never say never. It's just a lower risk of throwing away everything. That's good to know. I'm sure the team will be happy as well.
I didn't say everything, did I?
Yeah, that's true. But I know what you mean. And it's kind of, I mean, it's a really exciting time for us as well because we just last month one and a half months ago, we engaged composers to make the music for Tavern Keeper. And that, to me, was just an amazing time because, like, I know nothing about music, which makes it even more exciting to have someone professional there who does stuff. And just to, you know, I mean, I don't want to go to the intro of the podcast again, but my
kind of professional, anyway. Right?
No. Yeah, you wait to the outro. But anyway, you know, it's exciting. It's cool things. It's a great artifact. And I mean, when we got Mark on board, who does all the animations in the game, that was similar. We were also excited to see animated characters. And by now, we actually have quite a backlog of things we can show on the Discord. I mean, actually, when we start the Patreon, we can, you know, have a channel where we almost show the history. Like, you can post screenshots from 3 years ago and talk about it.
It will be really fun. I'm sure.
Yeah, I can. I already see a giant horse on colored disco tiles. You will know what I mean.
Exactly.
I mean, back then, I mean, some of the game screenshots were just really white spheres, not even spheres. Just
capsules.
Like capsules,
and boxes.
Unity capsules just running around and boxes. It wasn't all that exciting, was it?
Yeah, but it already kind of worked, right? Like they moved around exactly how they should.
Yeah, and then they didn't. It's kind of funny because some of the problems we had back then, which was like not pathfinding, but essentially how these, capsules, I mean, patrons really move through the tavern, we still have a bit. Mm. So this is one of the bigger technical challenges to make this really work well. And as I said, it's not about pathfinding, that's easy, but about making them move in a nice way and wait in spaces that's nice to look at, because unlike in other games, I guess a tavern is actually quite small. If you think about it, it's not like a giant hall, where you have, you know, 1,000 rooms that are all too big that have some items in there. It's all very packed.
So it's more about the narrow spaces where they need to move along without interfering with the others, which are moving along as well. I think that's the bigger problem, which often is just not needed in games, right? Because, as you said, often it's just big places.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how, like, with Game Dev Tycoon, we avoided so much of that because we focused just on the core decisions and, you know, kept it very simple. And I would definitely recommend that to people who start out making their first game. And in a way, I mean, even we are intimidated by Tavern Keeper, because as soon as you move into 3D, as soon as you know, have more of these complex things going on, there are so many more things you have to worry about. Animation integration took us a huge amount of time to make it look nice. And it's not just, you know, hiring someone who can animate. It's making it all work together, I guess.
Yeah, having the whole chain in place, kind of like the work chain, how you decrease
the pipeline.
Friction, kind of, right?
Yeah. And we're still getting better at that 5 years in, which is, I guess, a good sign. I don't know. I mean, it must be a good sign, right? Because at least you're getting better.
True.
Yeah. All right. ETA, we don't really know yet. We're pretty sure it won't come out as a full release this year. But, you know, there might be something else where we feel comfortable in sharing parts of the actual game. Who knows? At this point, it's unknown, really. What are we doing at the moment? We are actually focusing on a few levels and essentially half the gameplay, right? I mean, the progression.
Well, and throwing away technology, so.
and some of the technological things are still there. But anyway, we get more into that in future episodes, I'm sure. So, what's next for Greencast? What can people expect in the next episodes? What do you think? It's all an experiment. We don't know. I mean, probably a better intro sound, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. At least more in-depth look at what we are doing, that's for sure. The listeners can also just write us what they want to hear or what they want to see in Patreon posts and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, that's why I kind of like the idea of keeping it, of keeping the podcast just real and not staged, because then, we can just take questions or people want to know something. I mean, first of all, we should introduce the rest of the team over time.
Okay, of course.
So that, you know, that everyone knows the characters essentially that are part of this journey. And then, yeah, maybe some more behind the scenes kind of in that conversations about how do we do actually the artwork? Why do our characters not have arms, forearms? I mean, upper arms.
Yeah, and the whole thing isn't planned as a one-way communication, right? So we want to engage with the community, with everyone out there who is interested in Tavern Keeper and Green Hat games.
Yeah. Which is really exciting for us, and we're not practiced. So, looking forward to what reactions we get from that. So I think that's probably a good time to wrap up our first episode.
Mm-hmm. Curious about the outro.
Are you ready? I mean, the intro was, dubstep, so I thought for the outro, we'll have something that just matches that on the other end. So thank you all for listening to Greencast episode 1. Maybe I'll leave the reaction of Daniel of the outro still into the podcast, so I won't cut it off immediately. But yeah, here we go.
Well, that's way better, and I know it really matches Game Dev Tycoon. Not that much Tavern Keeper, but
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it was like a 70s TV show kind of thing, which I guess we used actually. But we used a game show theme for Game Dev Tycoon to start with, which I previously considered for the intro, but I thought you would probably hang up if I do that because we heard it so many times.
No, wouldn't have been the case.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So that's that for episode 1. I hope to see you in episode 2, and take care.
Yeah. See you.